Welcome to the Presentation Podcast, Season 6, Episode 143. Let's start another Design Studio conversation about presentation design and the business of presentation.
Eiffel Presentations, based in the UK, recently released a new industry report called The New Normal Hybrid Presentations. Obviously caught my eye. Very interesting topic to me, very top level to everybody in the presentation world. Just as a side note here in the upfront, that report is free, and I highly recommend everyone that presents or works with presenters takes a few minutes to read through the insights on our new normal. It is definitely worth the time. So this episode, you're stuck with just me. Sandy is with family at what I will call a royal wedding for her family. It is phenomenal from the photos I've seen. Nolan is busy making, I'm just going to say, pie charts and conducting professional training programs. But the highlight of the episode is Simon Morton, one of the principals at Eiffel Presentations. He has along with him Alex Warwick and Jack. Jack, is it Phipps? Phipps?
There we go. Yeah, that's the one.
Phipps? Okay. Also has with him Jack Phipps. All from the Eiffel Presentations team are here, and we have the opportunity to not only talk about the information in this new normal report, but get some additional insights from the, well, from the team that researched and developed the report. So here we go. Hello, Simon. Hey, thank you for the advanced copy of the report and, you know, finding some time here to join us. You know, the presentation podcast is all the better for having you on always. You know, please introduce yourself to the people that may have missed, either haven't met you, aren't familiar with Eiffel Presentations. I don't know who they would be. And and let everyone know kind of the positioning statement of your, you know, of the company of Eiffel, because, you know, I'm always intrigued by it. And then also, if you wouldn't mind, could you introduce the people on your team that were brave enough to join us for this episode?
I certainly can. Yeah, well, it's good to be back. Always lovely to spend time with you, Troy. And you know what? I think it'd be better without Nolan and Sandy. That's just my opinion.
I'll edit that. I'll edit that.
They slowed us down last time. Pretty sure of that. So, I'm the founder of Eiffel Presentations. What was that? 16, 17 years ago now. My role is as managing director these days. But that's taken more of a sort of a step backwards. We've got a great leadership team that are driving us forward to do what we do to help people improve the way they communicate their message, which is a very broad way of saying we help people with their story. We work with them to craft powerful stories that then we turn into powerful visuals that help them communicate that story and drive action. And then we get them along to our presentation campus and help train them to make the most of each and every opportunity they have. So that's who we are. That's who I am. And we're a team of 32 people, I think it is now. But two of my favorites of those 32 join us today. So we got Jack Phipps, and I'll let Jack introduce himself and explain what he does. And also Alex Warwick. So beautiful American pronunciation. It's Warwick, not Warwick.
Thank you for the correction.
Dionne Warwick and Alex Warwick, I don't think are related in any way, but who knows? But Jack, do you want to explain who you are, what you do, and why you do it?
Yeah, no, thanks, Simon. And I like Warwick as well. I think it's going to stick. I have the pleasure of being one of Eiffel's account directors. I look after four of our enterprise clients, typically in the technology space. But really, my day-to-day role is helping them use presentations to solve a whole bunch of different communication challenges.
Cool. And Alex?
Yeah. Hi, hi everybody. I am Alex Warwick. No relation to Dionne Warwick that I'm aware of. I have been regularly using PowerPoint all the way back since 2005. So I was using the 2003 version of the software. So I probably would say I'm a veteran now.
Absolutely.
But I've been working at Eiffel Presentations since the start of 2012. So that's just over 10 years. And over that time, I sort of have started to manage a team of designers here. I'm responsible for a large number of the outputs that we do. And I think one of the key benefits of a role like mine is just the visualization and the ideas side of things, which I love doing. And I love the industry, and I'm very honored to be here as well, Troy.
Oh, thank you. And I think you just spoke to a couple hundred or thousand people listening, because that's exactly the position they're in. So this is great. Okay, let me direct us to this report. So it's just to give everybody a little bit of a sense. And you know, Simon, I actually need to get from you where people will, maybe you can announce it or anybody here. But I also want to put a link in the show notes on the episode webpage. Okay, just so everybody knows, it is a print size document. It is an A4, should you be American. And you know, it's not US letter, and my printout has all these wonderful white bands on the sides. I was like, oh, they didn't fill. Oh yeah, different page size. It is 38 pages. It is a beautiful print design piece, and I'm going to talk about the print design throughout, because obviously my background was developing these for corporate clients. You know, that's where we started, was a print agency, and it is really, really wonderfully done. But I actually wanted to start off not so much with the topic, but you guys opened it up with a lot of industry and work stats, which I found fascinating on many fronts, because you don't really, you kind of have an introduction to, hey, we're going to talk about hybrid presentations. You don't fully identify it. And then you have, I don't know, let's hear, 1, 2, 3, at least 4, 5 pages of just amazing stats. Thoughts on the stats just overall. And let me just, for you listening, hybrid work is inevitable, which is a great study by Edelman. The tipping point, where's that other one? Hold on, now I got to flip my page. Yeah, here's the one. This is, I think this one was done by the Microsoft recent work from home study. The digital overload is real and climbing. I mean, just the numbers are staggering to see in front of me. It set a really good tone for presentation world has shifted.
Yeah, and that was one of the reasons I think we deep dived into the data early on, because I think over a cup of tea, over a beer, whoever you chat to, we're all aware that we're working dramatically differently to the way we were 3 years ago, 2 years ago. And what the data helps demonstrate was the scale of that change. Now, where we land, nobody knows, because the world is, you know, sort of, we're hurtling towards or through change at a remarkable rate. So the data is there really to sort of highlight the size of the shift that we've undergone in a very short period of time. And the landing point is what we believe is going to be this hybrid presenting world, where we all feel more comfortable now in having more options of being there in person, being there remotely. And it's down now, going back to our area of expertise and passion, which is presenting. What does that mean in terms of the dynamics around the presenter, about the audience? Really important that we talk about the audience, because very few people focus on them as much as they should do. And what can we put in place to make the most of the opportunity that's ahead of us? So, and by that, I mean, it would be really easy just to say, here's a bunch of best practice guidelines, just do this. Mm-hmm. And actually, hopefully what you took from the report and what we're trying to get across is there's no simple fix to this. This is a mind shift. This is a cultural shift. And you've got to be cognizant of the constant change going forward. So you're constantly asking yourself the questions, how can I make this the most effective use of my audience's time, deliver value for them, drive the actions I want, connect with them, and ensure that they act upon the messages that I share. So it's the data, going back to the original sort of question, the data was there to say, everything's changed. Have you changed beyond, I'm now talking to a webcam rather than talking to a bunch of people? It's much more nuanced than that.
I got so many things to ask and say. Alex and Jack, do you kind of agree with Simon? You can talk freely. He told me it's all good. It's, you know.
Jack, have you said, in terms of the conversations you're having with your clients, I mean, yeah, they are turning to us and asking questions, and the answers that we give them aren't definitive answers, because every situation is different. Am I right?
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, a few people have asked us, and I think Troy kind of touched on it when we were chatting before, what is hybrid presenting? And Eiffel must be able to define that for us. And then we can use that internally. And you know, that will be a hybrid event, that will be a virtual event, and that will be an in-person event. And I think it's the same with what Simon just touched on. There isn't, in our opinion, or maybe my opinion, one true definition of hybrid. It's more of a mindset shift. And I think that that's where these stats kind of take us, is we know things are changing, and things are changing very fast. Hybrid really is, you know, another version of what came before. It's not a definitive thing. So I think it's, you know, it is an interesting place. I think we all have our own kind of thoughts on what hybrid, and, you know, keen to hear what you guys would kind of define hybrid if you have to. But yeah, for me, it's the fact that it can shift. And of course, there's different forms of hybrid, but that's what's really kind of keeping us on our toes at the moment.
I mean, I've tried to create a really dumbed down definition of it at the base level, in the knowledge that, to your point, Jack, look through different lenses, you can take that definition and go, yeah, that kind of pans out. So, you know, reading directly from the report, it's simultaneously engaging with audiences online and in the room with you. That's hybrid. Really easy to define it that way. But then just the conversation we had before we hit record, the clients that Troy's dealing with and the projects that him and his team are working on are very different to some of the, you know, sort of smaller group, maybe pitch decks or what have you, that we're developing for some of our clients. Yet the engagement with that material is hybrid. Some are in person and some people are joining online, and dramatically different audience engagements because of the type of the scale and the type of presentation that you're talking about. But we both have that same challenge, which is how do we ensure that the audience is pulling together and getting everything that you know, they need to get from the half hour, day, 3 days that they spend online with you.
Oh, I think that's the key statement of the whole time here, is that it's still about the communication and getting a message through to somebody. Because for us, hybrid right now, at this particular moment in time, it means more that the presenters are probably gathered together, but they're sending to an all remote audience. We don't have that half and half. Now, that being said, as we started today, literally, there's a meeting going on over my shoulder that we're managing the platform for, and it has about 400 people in the audience. And we have, according to the stats, 293 people joining remote, of which I'm one of them because I'm logged in. But you know, so you know, that is a true, I think, the most true essence of hybrid. But from a production standpoint, when we're talking design, it's generally all the executives and the presenters are together, but the audience is 100% remote. And then there's a whole conversation of, are we talking about hybrid presentations? Do we need to tailor our presentation content styling for hybrid use, because there are now two different mediums that people are looking at it on potentially, and so many things. Hey, I think I caught you guys just at a unique opportunity, because on let's see, what, page 6, as we return (brackets) part-time to our traditional workplaces, the inevitable, isn't this like the first week everybody at Eiffel is sort of gathering back in the Eiffel campus?
We kind of, so we've got a handful of people in today, but next week the whole gang's back. But again, it's interesting, pre all of the pandemic horrible stuff that we've gone through, we were in 5 days a week. Now we're going to be in 3 days a week. Because
new hybrid. See, hybrid, the word comes up in every aspect of business life and presentation.
But that in itself throws up, you know, you touched on this before, Troy, and I know Alex can't wait for people to be back in the office, because as one of our creative directors, you're better as a creative director when you're in the room with people, and you can look over people's shoulders, support, you know, tweak and what have you live. Is that right?
Absolutely, Simon. There was there was benefits to working at home in the 18 months or so that we've done it in the last 20 months. And the benefit of that from a design point of view is focus. So you can sort of just focus purely on one specific task at a time. You've got very little distractions. You know, you can put a do not disturb on Teams so people can sort of stay away from you if you've got a lot on. So there was a huge benefit in potentially doing more work whilst we were at home. But what I found after months of doing that is you started to lose the ability to work collaboratively as a team on bigger projects. You started to lose the ability to be innovative because you're not looking over people's shoulders. You're not seeing what they're doing. And so it takes actually being in the office next to them, looking over their shoulder, asking them questions to actually start learning things about what each other are doing. And that's how we all progress together. So we lost a lot of that from working at home. So I can see benefits in both, but the hybrid way of working that hopefully we're going to be utilizing going forward, I think has got the best of both worlds. You've got the focus time. You've also got the collaborative and innovation time as a designer.
Oh my gosh. You're speaking my language so heavily because, you know, Lori and I are basically creative directors. We're hands-on in certain projects and it's so, I'm going to go back to where I just started because this Microsoft report has some. So Alex, think of this. It says, according to this email, the increase in emails delivered from February 2020 to 2021 is 40.6 billion extra emails. Do you find that like half of your emails are, is this the right color? ? And a little screen capture. It's not an email. It would have been like literally a 3-second conversation if you were in the building together, but now you've got to send an email chain back and forth. Okay. Let's go on to Teams and just quickly just show me why it's that green. And you know, that goes right into weekly meeting time is more than doubled for Teams users. Obviously it's from Microsoft, but I think this goes across all memes. Yeah. Now we're a Microsoft shop. We use, you know, Office 365 throughout, or whatever, Microsoft 365, you know, so we're collaborating through Teams continuously. And I find I'm just pinging people to say, show me the what you're doing on the design side, just so we're in sync before I get to the end of day and you're off. And I go, wait, we just went down the wrong slide. Do you see this? Is this your yeah. life?
Yeah, exactly. we do a lot of that. And I find myself, I don't use emails so much. I use Teams a lot for quick messages on how you're getting on. Can I see what you're doing? Do you want to have a chat? All that sort of stuff. And if I find that there's a few too many messages going on, then that's the perfect time to actually call them and start sharing your screen and having a bit of a collaborative way of working like that, which, you know, it does work, and Teams and Zoom and those sort of platforms have come on leaps and bounds in the last 2 years. They've been forced to. So we do use that regularly, but it's never going to be the same as actually talking to somebody over your shoulder in person and seeing what they're doing all the time.
Speaking of my life, we just did. So Lori, who's not in the room, otherwise she would be throwing books right now. we did a whole medical med industry presentation, and the designer went down a rabbit hole for some reason of capitalizing a particular product name. Kind of makes sense. It's a product name, this and that, but the brand guidelines state it's lowercase. So, you know, why, you know, it would have been like literally a half a second conversation. Hey, I see that capitalization. That's not right. End of conversation. Of course, you know, we didn't get it until the day, you know, the evening it's supposed to be proofed and sent off to the client. So Lori, you know, doing a search and replace, but then having to go through everything to make sure it didn't randomly do something wrong. It was, you know, like an extra 45 minutes of her evening. And it's those half second conversations that suddenly spin into, yeah, hybrid and presentation design don't mix as well as everybody wants when you're a collaboration team. If you're on your own, yeah, it's beyond phenomenal. So anyways, okay, there, I'm done venting on that one.
You feel better for that now?
Alex, from a client side, what are you seeing, well, you know, with the accounts? Do they, you know, how's your, you know, everybody's working remote. Do you even find it hard? Are there more challenges with clients working remote, not being able to yell down the hall, hey, Tom, are those numbers right? You know, what's the, you know, I'm just making up an example, but do you find that you're, what's the hybrid environment for you on the whole client side?
On the client side, I've probably found myself speaking to clients more as everybody in the last sort of couple of years has started using Teams a lot to communicate mm-hmm. with each other. I've found that where I used to go on small telephone calls and I'd sort of be in the background, I couldn't really see everything that they were doing. or the subtext of the way they are, you'd sort of miss things in the brief and you'd forget to ask things. Whereas when you can actually see them on Teams, it's actually quite useful, I've found. So
very interesting. I totally agree. So Jack, from the business side of managing clients, do you find this whole hybrid and, you know, how's it changed the relationship from a couple of years ago to now?
Yeah, I think, you know, I reflect definitely what Alex is saying, that it's almost, you know, crazy to think of it this way, but going and sitting at home has allowed us to meet so many more clients face to face. And I think part of that's down to some of the great technologies that have kind of come to fruition over the last 18 months. But, you know, I was working with clients for 4 to 5 years before the pandemic and hadn't actually seen them in the flesh. But then you're able to have that conversation. You can quite quickly get in front of a client, and we've been able to kind of deepen some of our relationships to, for want of a better way, a more informal level of communication. So is that Teams groups with clients? You know, we're actually being able to more easily give some of our longstanding relationships access to people like Alex, who that's really what they want to be. You know, that's really the person they want to be speaking to. They don't want to be speaking to me. They want to be chatting to Alex about, you know, I've got a story to tell. How do we bring this to life? And in the past, that's, you know, amazing. And we want to get more people back in person at the presentation campus. But the speed and volume we can work at, it, I think, is definitely increased because of the, you know, the new way of working.
And I do think that's coincided with a change in the way that we work here at Eiffel as well. So, and I don't know if it's, you know, chicken or egg. So was it the fact that the pandemic happened and kind of all of the rules went out the window? But culturally, what we've done is we're much more team-based now, where previously it used to follow a very linear path. Yeah, salesperson would engage with prospects, turn it into a deal, take the brief, hand the brief over to a project manager. Project manager would then pass it on to the creative team, and then it would move its way back up and down that path umpteen times. That's inefficient, doesn't deliver the best result for the client. And I think probably coinciding with all the stuff that's gone on, we came to the conclusion that actually getting somebody like Alex on a call with Jack at the same time delivers so much value to the client quicker. We all know what we're doing. Everybody wins. And maybe technology has helped us do that rather than, you know, well, wait for them to visit or us to jump on the train and go and visit them. This has allowed that those conversations to happen quicker.
By the way, nobody in the States, unless they live in New York, understood the hop on the train thing. It just doesn't exist. Chicago has the L, but they don't call it the train. The train's where you... Anyways, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for you guys, hop on a plane. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which to us is very glamorous. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's my normal... So let me ask this question because I'm really curious, and you could say I can't divulge that information. On the presentation design kind of messaging front, has hybrid been a focus or kind of an endpoint for like the Eiffel clients? Has it actually taken hold as this is the request now? Is I need a presentation that is designed for hybrid use?
If I know I talk a lot, let me offer my personal opinion, but then these guys are going to add some color to that. So from my perspective, all it's done is dialed up the need to do the basic stuff right. By that, I mean, going back to the things that Troy, you and I have talked about many times, either on the podcast or over a beer when we've met up, which is audience, call to action, message, content, those basic building blocks that people very easily skim over when they kind of go, well, yeah, I just kind of need something and I'll work around that. Because we're now dealing with a more complex end engagement, because mm-hmm. some people are in the room, some people aren't, you've got to get your act together. You've really got to put the work in. And so what it's allowed us to do is actually hit them with our Bible that we've been hitting them with for many years, going, we told you this stuff was important. It's never been more important.
Ah, that's a great way to say it, because it's not that things have diminished, that they just Yeah, I like the focus. You got to do the basics right now.
Well, but Jack, you're having conversations with some huge brands, you know, it's in the technology sector, which is your area of expertise. And in terms of the story structures that you're sharing with our story team and getting those conversations started, yeah, what angles are you coming in at and what are clients wanting?
I think, you know, just to give a bit of kind of context to what we're seeing with clients before, I definitely promise I'll answer the question as well. But you know, it was interesting when you guys are bouncing around talking about, you know, what's the challenges and opportunities of working from home. That really talked about quite widely, but clients don't seem to talk about, you know, the challenges of presenting in a hybrid environment. And I think really there's so much we've learned from this shift to work from home that the way I boil it down is what we're trying to do is get all of the good bits from working in the office in this new way of working. And what we're really trying to do with hybrid presenting is maintain all the good bits that we used to have when we could get together, but actually add on some of the extra sparkle we can get from the new technologies and the new way of working. So now we've got this kind of opportunity, because what we have seen with our clients is they're all getting really excited about having so many more opportunities to present. There's even more challenges to kind of work against to make the most of those opportunities, because you've got increased complexity. You've got so much on-demand content now. You've got, you know, a world of more disengaged audiences. So what that means is if we're looking at the message, more so than ever, we need to be absolutely critical in what are we trying to communicate? What do we want the audience to do off the back of connecting with them in this hybrid world? Because if not, you just become another person who's putting information out there. So it's not so much that the story structures or what we're talking to our content team about is changing. It's more about really honing that in and being even crisper in, you know, the key message that they're using. Or is there a way of getting even deeper inside that complex information? So yeah, I've kind of gone around a bit, and I don't know, Simon, Alex, you've got any reflections to that? But
yeah, I mean, without wanting to throw too many sort of Eiffel terms out there, what you've just described is the connect, communicate, sustain strategy, which we try and take people through, which is everybody obsesses about the connect, the communicate bit, which is that middle bit of that's when I'm standing up and presenting. Now, that could be to an audience in front of you, an audience online, or increasingly a combination of the two. Communicate, we all know what makes that work. Anybody in our industry makes a living because of that bit. The bit that makes communicate work really effectively is actually if you do the planning up front, so what we call connect. So getting under the skin of your audience, understanding the dynamics within that audience and how you're going to engage with them in the forum that you've been given. Yeah. What information have you shared with them up front to both inform the content and the message that you're going to share, but also the actions that you're going to drive, that type of thing. And then increasingly importantly, he says, getting very, very excited, is the sustain phase, which is what happens after that communication. Because we're no longer that one hit, bosh, there you go, there's your presentation, you won't hear from us again. It's about maintaining a heartbeat of conversation. And this is where the technology plays a fantastic part, because what it allows us to do is record that presentation and then start using bits of that content to start sharing effectively. There's a friend of mine who's a business consultant, and he uses the phrase shatter content, which is brilliant, where you take that big pane of glass that you had as the main message, the presentation, then you shatter it into small pieces and then feed those through as well. There's these little heartbeats of information that sustain the conversation to the point where you get to the action that you want.
And I think, Simon, talking about that kind of heartbeat of content, what's also been so interesting with moving to hybrid is, you know, forget all of the behind the scenes stuff that the design teams are working on. In the client's eyes, a presentation previously was maybe, you know, 2 days on site at an expo. What we've really seen is presentations are now becoming a 2 month campaign.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to say that a presentation is a 2 month campaign, but to do it right and to actually get a result off the back of that communication, there is a tougher world of connecting and engaging and getting people to even attend an event. Then we've got to communicate something. And I guess to put a real life example to what Simon's talking about is, you know, post event, what do we do to stop people kind of logging off and then going to play with the kids or watching Netflix? How do we make them remember what we were talking about? And that's where there's a whole new world of, and it's not a new world, that's not fair to say, but it's how do we then maintain that communication? And that is definitely lasting a hell of a lot longer than just those kind of 2 days on site that people used to enjoy.
So Alex made note that from a design perspective, you get work from home gives you a focus. You can just sit down and look at your project. And what you just said, Jack, is I completely agree with both of you, by the way, is that that the attendees can be distracted easier because they're not in a ballroom where they can't just get, I mean, even answering your phone or a text message was, you know, ostracization in many cases, like, you know, because I'm in a room with everybody else, you know, here, you know, multitasking reigns. I have a question. I'm totally derailing the conversation, but it is about hybrid because we're talking about, you know, Eiffel's use of precision. How much do you guys in general dive into the technology that the presenter uses? And I have a particular example I wanted to mention because it just became public. You know, I'm not under NDA. I can actually talk about this to a degree, but do you guys like, you know, dictate, you know, presenters? I mean, in the old days, it used to be, what program do you use? Do you present with Keynote or PowerPoint or Canva? No, not Canva. What's the, not Slido.
Prezi.
Prezi, yeah. There was the one I was trying to get off. Yeah. I just didn't come to me. You know, how much do you guys get into the technology side? Because everything is still messaging. The end result is you still have to go through these basic elements or your presentation to your audience is going to suck because it's going to be a jumble. So you still got to do these core elements. But do you guys dive into to the technology side with your clients a lot?
Yeah, we definitely do. And we've used different pieces of software as well for many years now. We tend to, like I'm sure a lot of designers who work with presentations, we tend to sort of get our clients to use PowerPoint more often than not because PowerPoint is the best presentation vessel that we have. You know, it's got the most tools compared to the others and it's got the best interactivity. So more often than not, we end up using PowerPoint. But in the past, we have definitely used Prezi. We've used Google Slides, which I know is something that's been on the growth for a little while now. We definitely do. It's
in terms of recommending what they should be using.
Well, here's my direct thing because this has just come up. So if you search for if you're listening and haven't heard, search PowerPoint and Cameo, Cameo. You guys familiar at all? So this is like new technology. Microsoft has been taunting. It just was released in a very limited run. You know, it's only out to there, but this is going to be it basically takes the presenter, does a virtual green screen behind them for whatever level your camera and software, and it places you on the slides. So you are now a part of your slides. Other software does this, but now PowerPoint supports it. It has a lot of good features. I've talked with Microsoft about it. I've seen demos of it. We've talked about the nuances of it. And I think it's going to be a game changer in the fact that presenters are going to come to us with, hey, I'm going to remote present. I want to do this. Now, the irony of that is we're working on a large corporate client presentation right now where we're doing this idea of putting the person on the slide, but it's all choreographed. We have a video, you know, there's a film crew producing this presenter. Okay, you need to stand here on the green screen and you need to reference over your left shoulder. Okay, now you've changed positions. You physically haven't changed positions, but now you need to reference over your right shoulder because we're moving you and all the content, the slide content, if you will, is over your other shoulder. And now you're a puppet on the slide. You know, we're doing this whole choreographed thing. It's going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal presentation, but it's a lot of design back end to make the magic happen. There's, you know, the Disney pixie dust environment here.
Yeah.
But
that's spooky. We're doing pretty much exactly the same sort of projects for one of our large consulting firm clients.
And be prepared because this new feature is going to put it right into PowerPoint, where as long as the slide designs are there, you can pretty much accomplish it in a single run and the production value goes dramatically down from what we're providing, but it's now available tool to everybody. It's just, you know, so we have our team prepared for this technology and we're waiting for the clients. We're not offering it, but we're ready to embrace it and say, absolutely, let's take your slides and choreograph it out. just like we do for the bigger things, but you have to know that this content area, your table can't be full screen because you have to fit somewhere, you know, all the, just at the simplest level.
I think the difference in the one that we're doing at the moment in the studio that I think Simon's referencing is that is purely going to be a video. So it's not a live event. They're not interacting with content that's coming up in a live environment. It's basically using the green screen technique to put somebody in an environment. They've filmed it beforehand, and then we're overlaying and putting images and putting videos.
You're making it phenomenal and
yeah.
This. So ironically, I don't think I'm, hold on, let me think this through. No, I'm not breaking any NDA by saying this statement. In talking with Microsoft about this feature, they're all about, you know, people are going to do this. It's like, no. People are going to use this I want to make sure they could export their video, their presentation as a video. I'm like, no, this is going to be pre-recorded content. They're just going to use this tool as the way to accomplish it and basically cut out a lot of budget getting it done. So to your point, Alex, I absolutely think that the pre-record thing is not going to go away, but the tools may. Okay, wait, let me bring us back to the report here, because this is a conversation that could go forever. So I'm going to talk about the print, because coming from a print background, I allude to it's a beautiful report. It's professional desktop publishing. I don't even know if that's a phrase used anymore, but it's professional print design. It is beautiful. Tell me about, the layouts are, you've got a great style going through it. Tell me about the duotones and the blue accents on the gray scale images. Who's responsible for that? And you know, this is not just a Word document. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, so in terms of the look and feel of the document in itself, I have to sort of take you back a few years. When we redesigned i4's brand, probably about 7 years ago, we came up with a new color theme, some new brand assets. And one of the things that I wanted to do when we were redoing the website is I wanted to have all of the images based in i4. So I basically didn't want to use stock images. I wanted i4-based imagery. But it was a great idea at the time. It didn't really materialize for that long, just because we realized about the quality of the stock images that we could get hold of. So we still had to do something to start branding those images. So the whole aspect of grayscaling the images and bring out certain items, whether it's cups, laptops, screens, whatever it may be, in our brand colors. That came about when we started doing these insight documents. It was the first insight document we did, and I think it was a designer called Joe, actually.
Yeah, it was Joe, yeah.
Yeah, Joe Allen, just to give a shout out. So he came in, he basically designed it, I think in InDesign at the time. He put the document together with the grayscale, the duotone, and the overlapping semi-transparent boxes in the brand colors. So he's responsible for all of that, really.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful for anybody that gets the report. Just flip to page 33. The ever camera shy Simon Morton is featured there. So if you're wondering what the face behind the voice is, you could just find it right there. I thought that was pretty phenomenal.
I'm kind of like an Easter egg. I have to be in every document we produce. You just got to find me. Yeah.
Okay. My observation, try to take us back to the actual conversation topic here. My observation, the arena has shifted. Presentation, the endpoint delivery, some of the technologies, but more importantly, the how you convey the message what I'm trying to say is the topics or the back end is still the same. Culture, people, and technology, I believe, is how Eiffel does it. And there's still a focus. It's just a little bit of a shift in how we approach them. Am I on track with what you're saying?
You are, yeah. I get animated about a few things. And those are the three things that I get particularly vexed about. The obvious one, anybody tuning into this, I think will probably, hopefully, be nodding their head in acknowledgement.